Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What's going on?
Thank you so much.
Feel like $1 million.
Shout out TMZ, you up?
Let me check out that rig.
TMZ stands for the Mayweather Zone.
How'd you find me, bro? I got my disguise on.
I love my TMZ family. My sports.
Welcome to TMZ Sports. I'm Mike Babcock with my guy, as always, Mojo Mutadi. Mojo, we're going to start again with Kansas City Chiefs star wide receiver Rashee Rice. Now, we've talked about this a bunch this week. We broke the story earlier in the week that we knew Rashee was in the car because he had told the people who owned that really expensive Lambo that he was involved in the accident. But we were not positive that he was driving. We believed he was because when he rented the vehicle, he told the rental people he would be the only driver. But now we have straight from Rashee's attorney, a guy by the name of Royce West, Mojo. So on Thursday in Dallas, where the accident happened, right where Rashee Rice is from, not too many miles from where he grew up, he met with the media and he was asked the question, was Rice driving? Here is his attorney, again, Royce West.
During the interview, Mr. Rice acknowledged that he was driving the Lamborghini. That was the question that was asked. And he responded to that he was driving the Lamborghini. In terms of the persons involved in this accident, Mr. Rice wants to make certain that it's understood and appreciated that he's going to do everything in his power to bring their life back to as normal as possible in terms of injuries, in terms of property damages. He'll make certain that he is responsible for helping them to get through that particular part of this.
So there it was, Mojo. He didn't skirt the question. He took it head on and he said, yes, he was in fact driving the vehicle. I watched the entire press conference. I actually appreciated that they took responsibility. They said that Rashee was going to do everything that he could to make things right mentally and emotionally, property-wise, with the people who were involved in the crash. And I actually did appreciate that. Now, he also did ask for people to reserve their judgment and to let the full investigation play out. So perhaps there's another shoe to drop here. But bottom line is Rashee Rice was driving that Lamborghini when it crashed.
Yeah, I don't really know what they mean by let the investigation play out. At this point, I don't know how much more we're missing from this case. Right. He was driving. He was probably racing. Whether he was or wasn't, that part doesn't really matter. The fact that matters is that a lot of people were involved in that crash. People are banged up. And probably the worst thing of all of this is the fact that he just left the scene.
Yeah.
That is a problem, showing no remorse for anyone that he hit all those innocent bystanders. I mean, that's a problem. I don't know how he's going to rectify this situation. I don't know what kind of injuries people are having. You know, we're talking about replacing maybe these cars these people were driving and medical bills. I mean, that is going to be a hefty bill in the seven figures, I gotta think, after you stack all of this up. So maybe that's why the attorney made sure to say best efforts, you know, when he talking about the situation. But this was not good. Leaving the scene after causing this is a really, really bad look for him. It's going to be costly to dig yourself out of this hole.
Yeah, Mojo, and that's just the money side of things. You've also got to think about the legal repercussions and what could follow here. Certainly, I would be shocked if there was not a hit and run charge. The question is, will it be a misdemeanor or will it be a felony charge? Very, very different penalties when you're talking about the differences between the misdemeanor and the felony. So we'll see what happens. They've asked for people, again, to reserve judgment. Yesterday, Rashee Rice met with the police. The investigation is ongoing. I don't expect it would take too long. We'll find out soon. Stay tuned. All right, Mojo, we're moving on to Tiger Woods and undoubtedly my favorite story of the day. If you want to know how badly Tiger Woods, who has won the Masters five times, he is one of, if not the greatest golfer of all time, how badly he still wants to win this tournament next week in Augusta, Mojo. Tiger Woods has sworn off sex. Yes, no sex while preparing for the biggest golf tournament in the world, at least according to one of Tiger Woods' friends, Mojo. Now, I don't know if this guy's going to be Tiger's friend after Tiger reads all of these stories, because this has become a big storyline in the sports world. Nonetheless, Mojo, an unidentified buddy of Tiger, spoke with the New York Post, and here's what he had to say. He's working, meaning Tiger. Tiger's working really hard in the gym. He's eating right. He's even eliminated sex. He does that now when he's preparing. No sex until the tournament is over. He doesn't want anything to take away his focus. So he's working hard in the gym, nowhere else. And Mojo, yeah, we'll see what happens.
He's pulling the old Rocky Balboa women weaken legs thing.
There it is, Mick. In the great words of Mick.
There's about a 65 to 69% chance here that you're going to have to bleep out half of what I'm about to say here. So always a good way to start a segment. For a guy that's a professional, this is backwards, I think, Babcock. And let me just break this down. I'm not a scientist, but I'm going to maybe go into a little bit of physiology here for a second for you. I think this is backwards. I think Tiger needs to have as much sex as possible. He's got to get his body used to it. He's got to get his levels up, right? Producing a lot. And then maybe 2 to 3 days out, then you cut it all out entirely. So when he shows up to the Masters, he's a rabid dog. He's pumped up. He's ready to drop somebody. Well, maybe that would be the case if he was playing football or was an MMA fighter. This is a golfer. So in that case, I think he should just not stop on the sex train. I think he should have a situation lined up for immediately before the Masters begin. Because afterwards, he's going to see more clearly. He's going to be more focused and relaxed. And I got to think, for a golfer, that is what you're aiming for, cutting out sex for this long of a time. I feel like that would be the opposite of what you want. It would just make your game that much worse. It's not like he has to put in a lot of effort here to obtain this set act, like it's going to take away from a time or scheduling perspective here to his game. That's just my thoughts on the matter.
We are just a couple of days away from UFC 300. It's crazy, man. UFC 1 was in November of 1993, and now we are here. 300 events, namesake events later, hundreds of other events, Mojo, and this card is stacked. Now, we know, you know, Alex Pereira, Jamal Hill fighting for the title, main event, great fight. But, Mojo, I know a lot of people, if they had to pick just one fight from the stacked night of fights, which one are they most looking forward to? I think a lot of people would probably say those two guys right there, two bona fide stars who have been in the UFC for a long time, Justin Gaethje against Max Holloway. Of course, Max Holloway, maybe the greatest 145 pounder of all time, Justin Gaethje, maybe the most violent fighter ever, period. And a lot of people, including myself, Mojo, very excited for this particular fight. Now, luckily, we actually had a chance to speak to Blessed himself, to Max Holloway. We asked him, hey, Max, what can the fans expect for this fight? Here's Max Holloway.
It's going to be huge, man. It's going to be huge. Like I said, man, the only word that comes to my mind when I think about this fight is violence, man. It's violence, and I look forward to it. I cannot wait. April 13th is the day. A little over 2 weeks out and under 2 weeks out, I mean, and can't wait to do it. I mean, if you're trying to get people to get into the UFC to be like, hey, look, this is the fight that you need to bet their lives to make sure they want to watch MMA again, you get them to watch this fight. You tune in UFC 300. You tune in to watch the whole UFC 300 card. You know, a lot of people is, I'm kind of mind blown when a lot of people is talking about what's going on with this card, but this card is stacked from the beginning prelim to the main event. So tune in, you know, and sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn and enjoy, because it's going to be a great night of fights.
Yeah, Mojo, when he says it's stacked, I mean, you start with Davison Figueiredo taking on Cody Garbrandt, two stars there, and all the way through, it's a ton of good fights. I love what he said, though. If you were trying to get someone to like MMA, this is the fight you would show them, right? Not two guys who might wrestle each other, and that's very technical, and the right person can appreciate that style, but this is the style of fight that appeals to a wide-ranging audience. Like, give me blood, and I promise you this fight will have blood.
Oh, yes, there will be blood, Babcock, absolutely, with this one. I mean, this is absolutely the fight I'm personally the most excited for, and I got to think the majority of fight fans would probably agree here.
Yep.
The BMF title, it really is an interesting one because you've heard a lot of comments about people in the past, whether it's a real title, whether it's a fake title just for fun. You know, the popcorn title or whatever you want to call it. Yep. But I mean, for me, I feel like the BMF title is always the main event of the card, regardless of who is actually in the main event. And that's, I mean, how I'm treating this case in particular. I mean, this fight, this matchup is going to be insane. I mean, I got to see Gaethje fight in person against Dustin Poirier, and that fight was absurd. I mean, talk about an entertaining matchup. I mean, yeah, you bring up a good point. I mean, for maybe the casual fight fan or a first-time fight fan, this is absolutely the fight to watch, right? Yeah, this is just going to be nonstop blood and guts, fighting through the blood and the punishment.
Great
and
point.
For many, that's what you're looking for, right? That's what sells tickets. Take it all the way back to Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner, that fight, and what that entailed and what that did for the sport. I mean, this is the kind of matchup where you could try and expect or at least hope for a fight as good as that one. So the BMF title, I think it's undefeated as of now. Every single matchup has been awesome, and this is an automatic lock to continue the streak.
WWE superstar Chelsea Green kicked out of a fancy New York City hotel because the staff thought she was an escort. The crazy details from a night gone bad when Chelsea joins us next.
I know I look so cute, but I just want you to know that the Fairmont Plaza just kicked me out for looking like an escort. So that's what's happening right now at 6:30 p.m. on a Tuesday. She gets kicked out of the Fairmont Plaza. Welcome to my life.
Welcome back to TMZ Sports, Mike and Mojo. Of course, that was WWE superstar Chelsea Green recounting a crazy story. Thankfully, we have Chelsea here with us right now. Chelsea, this actually happened to you, mind you. The Plaza in New York City, one of the most famous hotels in the entire country. Did they actually do this to you, Chelsea?
Oh, they very much did. And I have pictures of those two security guards. But let me tell you something. I don't need pictures because the memory of them is ingrained in my brain for life. When I tell you the way that they stereotype or typecasted me immediately off the bat, the minute I walked in, I mean, I'm sure it happens all the time at the Fairmont, but you messed with the wrong girl on Tuesday night.
Chelsea, and we have a photo of your outfit. You're in a completely reasonable outfit. There is no reason to suggest what a streetwalker wears. I mean, it's normal clothing. Why? Why did they think this?
I don't know what a streetwalker wears, but I definitely was going out with a girlfriend to a Broadway show, not looking to look like any sort of...
Okay, I would like to set the record straight. Neither do I, but... What did they say? What did they say to you? Why did they think that you were an escort, or what led them to believe that?
I mean, look, I don't know why they said what they said or thought what they thought, but they looked me up and down and they said, no, we know what you're trying to do here. You're not getting in. I mean, I have never been spoken to the way that I was spoken to on Tuesday night. It was insane how embarrassing it was.
What would you like to see from the Plaza after this? Because this is a situation that they just cannot replicate. This cannot be done again to any other guest. I mean, is there anything that you would be wanting to get from the Plaza out of this?
I mean, at the end of the day, I don't want to be tone deaf. I am obviously a cis white female. So the fact that they're doing it to me, imagine what they're doing to everybody else in New York, a city that is such a melting pot of cultures. I can't even imagine what everyone else has experienced. So I hope that me putting this out there for the world to see, first of all, makes them ashamed for the way that they're training their employees. And second, makes them change the way they train their employees. Hopefully, the next guest that walks in, they don't typecast them. And maybe they just let them into the damn bar for a cocktail.
Chelsea, have you heard anything? We posted the story on Wednesday, got a lot of attention. Have you heard anything yet from the Plaza?
So on Tuesday, I got a message from the Plaza on Tuesday night. Late Tuesday night, I got a message from the Plaza asking for my phone number, and I have not received any calls from them. My phones are open. I'm absolutely ready to speak to them and let them know. But at this point, I have not heard anything. I do know that the CCO knows about this. The head of communication knows about this. So we'll see what happens.
Wow. I have a feeling you're probably going to receive a call now. What is your husband, Matt Cardona, my old arch rival, what does he think about all this?
Look, at the end of the day, it's so ridiculous that it's funny. Thank God it happened to me. I'm very confident in who I am and what I choose to wear on a daily basis. And you cannot catch me in a bad mood on WrestleMania week. So they got lucky. So we're laughing about it right now. And we're enjoying the Marriott and having cocktails at the Marriott.
There you go.
Looks like the Plaza already gave you their gift, but today is your birthday, so we have to wish you a very happy birthday and talk about that. I know it's Mania Week and you're busy, but any plans to party with the squad or what?
Oh, absolutely. All the girls are going out tonight for my birthday. I turned 33. It's a big one. It's a big one. I've got my mom in town, my sister in town. We are going to have a really, really great week, and we're going to cap it off with WrestleMania.
Doesn't get any better than that. Chelsea, thank you so much. Happy birthday. Have a great WrestleMania. Obviously, we will all be watching, and we very much appreciate your time. And the Plaza.
Thank you guys
call.
For having me.
Of course. Thanks, Chelsea. Last night, or I guess I should say early this morning, some students and athletes at LSU, on the LSU campus, got an absolutely awesome surprise. Travis Scott actually showed up to the campus, Mojo, met with the football team, met with Angel Reese and the rest of the women's basketball team. Now, this was all to promote the Jack Goes Back to College line. It's clothing, it's headwear. So Travis has actually linked up. He has collaborated with 28 universities across the country, including LSU, Texas, USC, and they are dropping this collection. I promise you, Mojo, these things are going to sell out in an absolute instant. Now, I talked about not just students, but also some of the athletes having a chance to hang out with Travis Scott, with Cactus Jack. That included Angel Reese, who, of course, was celebrating yesterday her big announcement. She's entering the WNBA draft, where she is supposed to be a top 10 pick. She got to celebrate again with one of the most famous rappers in the entire world. Here's Angel and Travis Scott. And Mojo, this was like something that was kept on the down low, was pretty secretive. Yet you had people who were out there waiting for 12 hours just for a chance to meet Travis Scott.
Hey, for a second there, I thought we had Travis Scott and WWE Hall of Famer Cactus Jack in the building.
I know.
What an unlikely combo, but I love that. I actually still would like to explore that particular situation or tag team one day. But back on point, I digress. I love when celebrities do this. I don't care if they're on campus to promote something, to make some money, do a brand deal, whatever it is. I don't care. Doesn't matter. When a celebrity shows up on campus like this, it just energizes the entire university, not just the sports teams, but all the kids that go to school there too. I mean, if Travis Scott is selling merch, imagine being able to buy it from him, you know, himself. Yeah. Like that. How cool is that for people that, you know, might go their entire lives without actually getting to meet a big star like this? I mean, what a cool situation, something that you can, you know, tell your family and your friends about, maybe get a picture and all that stuff. But the impact that it has on the team, man, that just goes such a long way. It's positive reinforcement, right? It's being able to visualize your goals, see them right in front of you, have a conversation with a person that's made it, potentially hear them speak, pick their brain, ask some questions, you know, really just see a tangible road to success. I mean, that it sounds like I'm reaching here, but I promise you I'm not. Sometimes that's all it is just hearing a couple of sentences from a big star like that, and it can change a person's life. So this was really cool. And the fact that he made his rounds throughout the entire campus, multiple sports teams, it looks like he toured the gift shop or whatever, you know, whatever part of the campus. Really cool thing, man. I'm glad he did it. Earned some points in my book for this one.
Yeah, it was awesome. And Mojo, I should have also added this as well. Obviously, you see billionaire Michael Rubin there, who is friends with Travis Scott and, of course, is the founder of Fanatics. He, too, a big part of everything that Travis is doing with this collection. So kudos to them. What a thrill for the kids. All right, Mojo, we are just about out of time. We've got a lot planned, big stuff planned tomorrow, Mojo. Gonna be a great show.
Matter of fact, Babcock, it'll be the best show since today.